This is selection number 75, Jim Ballou doing the Orange Grove Blues, archive number T-87-17.
So I want to do this song in memory of my experience with the Groves. It's called the Orange Grove Blues. I got the Orange Grove Blues. I believe that hole done broke my back. Got the Orange Grove Blues. I believe that hole done broke my back. One day I hoed so many circles. That night I met myself hoeing back. I was looking bad too. I got the milk vine moan. Pulling milk vine thick as my leg. Got the milk vine moan. Pulling milk vine thick as my leg. One day I pulled on one so stubborn it wouldn't turn loose until I begged. I got the grove heat a groan. Them nasty things don't give no slack. Got the grove heat a groan. 100 pounds, don't give no slack. Well, I wish some man had made them, would tote them to hell and never come back. I got the Orange Grove Blues. Yeah, the grove heat a groan. Orange Blossom Blues. You know the milk vine moan. Orange Grove Blues. Strolling down old Citrus Lane. I got an orange grove blues, orange juice in my vein. Bebop my favorite fruit. Tangerine, bebop my favorite fruit. You know it tastes like ambrosia, all dressed up in a golden suit. Now you can keep your papaya. I don't much like that taste too well. I said you can keep your papaya. I can't hardly stand that taste too well. Cause sometimes that papaya tastes just like a wet dog smell. Woo! I got the Orange Grove Blues. Yeah, the grove heat a groan. Orange Blossom Blues. You know the milk vine moan. Orange Grove Blues. Strolling down old Citrus Lane. I got the Orange Grove Blues. Orange juice in my veins.
This is selection number 76, Eugenia Fitchin doing Forever Young, archive number T-84-42.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay. Forever young. righteous, may you grow to be true. May you always know the truth and see the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous, stand upright and be strong, and may you stay.
This is selection number 77, Eugenia Fitchin, doing Were You There When They Crucified My Lord, archive number T-84-42.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the
This is selection number 78, Eugenia Fitchin with Thelma Bolton, doing Dunbarton's Drums, archive number T-84-42.
Dunbarton's drums, they sound so funny when they remind Johnny. What fun delight doth steal upon me when Johnny peeps and kisses me
across the field.
Dunbarton's drums, they sound so bonny when they remind me of my Johnny. What fun delight does steal upon me when Johnny kisses me.
'Tis he alone that can delight me. His roguish eye, it doth invite me. And when his tender arms enfold me,
everybody sing. Dunbarton's drums,
sing,
they sound so bonny when they remind me of my Johnny. What fun delight can steal a pleasure when Johnny kisses me.
My Johnny is a handsome laddie, and though he is Dumbarton's caddy, someday I'll be Johnny turns his thoughts to me.
Dunbarton's drums, they sound so bonny when they remind me of my Johnny. What fun delight does upon me when Johnny kneels and kisses me.
Thank
This is selection number 79, Eugenia Fitchin doing Armadillo, archive number T-86-152.
He ambles on about the woodlands in the early morning light. He's often seen along the highway on a steamy summer night like this one. This little man in armor must fight to keep his land, his home beneath a nest of leaves quickly vanishes with the sand. Where will the armadillos roam when the moving machines drive them from their homes? The palmettos disappear as the land is swiftly cleared. Where will the armadillos roam? As a small child I can remember, on our many journeys to the shore, we'd see them all along the roadside, always dozens, maybe more. They were rooting for the insects that lie within the ground, with no distress or undue duress for the destiny they'd soon encounter. Where will the armadillos roam when the moving machines drive them from their homes? The palmettos disappear and the land is swiftly clear. Where will the armadillos roam? The limits to the cities are expanding. Soon the West will meet the East. Population growth is never ending. Developing land will never cease. This industry we've nurtured's begun to take its toll. Nothing remains. The natural terrain, the virgin expanses we remember. Where will the armadillos roam when the moving machines drive them from their homes? The palmettos disappear as the land is swiftly clear. Where will the armadillos roam? Will you and I provide them?
This is selection number 80, Eugenia Fitchin doing Wild Mountain Time, archive number T-86-152.
Oh, the summertime is coming, and the leaves are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows all around. Go, laddie, go.
will you go, laddie, go? If my true love, you won't go, I will surely find another to pull wild mountain down from all around the purple heather. Will you go?
This is selection number 81, Eugenia Fitchin doing A Part of Me, archive number T-86-152.
It's just a baby in the cradle when it all began. Singers, pickers, and old-time folks with roots all over the land. From a wooden stage, large oak trees abound, old-time music blending with the Suwannee River sound. So here I sing to you the strength in knowing what we share brings us together again. Here I sing to you, all of my good friends. Thank you for sharing a part of you that is now a part of me. Nothing ever stays the same. People from all over came singers, pickers, dancers, and old-time folks with roots all over the land. From a marble stage, bleachers all around, tall tales, water, witching, and rib cracking, blending with the Swanee sound. So strength in knowing what we share brings us together again. Here I sing to you, all of my good friends. Thank you for sharing a part of you that is now a part of me. Florida sand, that one man, his gentle songs we all know. That lady who's everyone's cousin, and whose stories to us belong. The Seminole in so many ways, their legends made to us known. The children of children who have grown with children. So time passes by, many old friends are gone, singers, dancers, pickers, and old-time folks moving all over the land. From a brickstone stage, change is all about, but the treasure is there for all to share in any Florida town. So here I sing to you, all of my old friends, the strength in knowing what we share brings us together again. Here I sing to you, all of my good friends. Thank you for sharing a part of you that is now a part of me.
Thank you.
This is selection number 82, Gamble Rogers doing Commercial Fisherman on Lake George, archive number T-81-39.
I would like to close this evening with a hymn of praise to one of the most seldom celebrated ethnic groups of American heroes, men for whom the noble concepts of free determination, personal integrity, and Yankee ingenuity are as natural as breathing. I'm speaking, of course, of the commercial fishermen of Big Lake George. Now, Big Lake George is right down the Ocklawaha River from Eureka. It's near Palatka. Was a big lake, 16 miles long. Early of an a.m. when the pellucid atmosphere about the perimeter of the lake is the color of gunmetal gray spangled with burgundy wine. And gossamer streamers of sunlight shafts skyward through the palmetto and cypress fringe. And the noble blue heron and the sassy anhinga leave the sanctity of the rookery in search of sustenance. You can hear these waterborne good old boys whipping over the surface of the lake, each one sitting tall in his 40-year-old flat-bottom paint-flake plywood fishing skiff. With a bow piled high with crab traps, trot lines, and fish weirs, he's got a Winchester rifle up there. If he catches some pilgrim rustling one of his crab traps, he'll perforate his sorry carcass and sink him in the sanctified waters of the Mystic Lake, for he flat do not care. I can see him now. Sitting tall at the helm of his noble craft, his sinewy hand wrapped about the throttle of a 175-horsepower Mercury outboard motor with a Quicksilver lower unit, whipping through the Florida atmosphere 83 miles an hour, stirring a paper plate full of pot liquor and grits, nailed down to the seat at his left side, his mouth a thin white line, flared nostrils. He says, "Shh." He don't care. Nah, I used to think these boys caught lots of crabs and fish to buy a big old kicker like that. One time I'm hanging around the Gulf oil pumps down in Georgetown, one of these commercial fishermen whips in off the tarmac pulling his boat behind his Dodge Club Cab pickup truck. You know the Dodge Club Cab? That's a stretch version of your common pickup, so you can carry two gun racks. He opened the door. He eased out in my direction, a symphony in pastoral grace. I was up for the occasion. I had on my tight Levi's, my Johnny Cash boots, and my Bluebell Wrangler shirt with the pearl snap buttons. As he came toward me, I sized him up. I said, "Howdy." He looked me over. He said, I said, buddy, you must catch right smarter crabs and fish to buy a big old kicker like that. He said, pilgrim, I didn't get that outboard motor catching no crabs. And that's where the second part of the tale commences. Winding out of the Georgia Piedmont like a malignant magic carpet of concrete is Interstate 95. It bores relentlessly southward, splits the sovereign beauty of Florida asunder, picks up Interstate 4 at Daytona, sweeps over toward Tampa past the greatest commercial concession ever articulated in the entrepreneurial visionings of modern mankind, a veritable monument to the legacy of Mickey Mouse, Disney World, a $500 million jukebox in the honky-tonk of life, Disney World. And down this road every day you've got 35,000 native sons of the proud American soil coming to reaffirm their frontier heritage according to the doctrine of Donald Duck. And here comes the average American tourist in his Winnebago camper. He's got two Yamaha trail bikes on the front bumper. Got an old town canoe tied to the left side. Got four snowmobiles on the roof. Got a pair of L.L. Bean polypropylene snowshoes crossed on the back door. He's towing a Cobia fiberglass family runabout with an Evinrude V4 Starflight outboard motor. He's got Savage Anschutz 22 rifles, Shakespeare fishing rods, Zebco spinning reels, Uncle Josh pork rind. He's got Coleman double mantle lantern, sleeping bags, pup tents, pack frames inside the trailer. He's got Monongahela upholstery, shag carpet, Marantz FM tuners, Panasonic television sets, and 2.6 children. And he is sitting tall in the cab of his motorized Conestoga, wearing a Pendleton Mackinaw and smoking a Marsh Wheeling cheroot. He looks down at his little bride. He says, "Mama, we are the great, the chosen cosmic consumers. Baby, we're packing everything we'll ever need right here on our backs." They get down to the bridge at Lake Monroe, and they run into a 47-mile traffic jam backed all the way up from the front gate of Disney World. And a solid phalanx of fool swelters in the Florida sunlight, and a malodorous mantle of carbon monoxide diffuses itself abroad over the spine of the land of flowers. But this man is up for any contingency. He say, "Mama, let us take advantage of this cruel hiatus and go fishing." So they put the boat in the river and they set out trolling with 2,600 other pilgrims. Walk across the water on outboard motors. Ain't nobody caught a fish in that part of the river for 20 years. Too many pilgrims. Game commission come down there once a year with a truck with a stainless steel tank on the back full of baby brim, shell crackers, perch, and bass. They commit those baby fish to the bosom of the waters to live and proliferate. 5 minutes later, every mother's son of those fish is back up on the interstate hitchhiking back to Lake County where they can survive in the water. The last man to catch a fish in that part of the river was a key punch operator from Valdosta. Came down there with a fishing plug he made himself out of stainless steel. It was an exact replica of one of those tanks the baby fish grew up in. He took home a boatload of fish. They troll down the river. They get down there to the big water. Here's one of these commercial fishermen out there in his hook-nosed skipjack with his high-rise Merc looming up. He got his foot up on the gunwale. Got his transistor radio hooked onto a rusty nail, tuned into WCKY, listening to Merle Haggard sing, "It's not love, but it's not bad." And he is whittling out a minute, functional wood chain out of an Ohio blue tip match with a Barlow knife. He looks up and he sees all the pilgrims coming. He says, the next thing you know, one of the tourists insults the appearance of the fisherman's boat. And the next thing he knows, he is racing that good old boy, pink slip for pink slip, title for title, boat for boat. The sun goes down on beautiful Lake George. The noble blue heron and the sassy anhinga return satiated to the sanctity of the rookery. And the commercial fishing fleet returns to the docks at Georgetown. Each one of those good old boys packing 2.5 pounds of perch fillet, 4.5 pair of frog leg, and towing 26 Cobia family runabouts. Bright and early Monday morning, he trades all that merchandise in at the Evan Rue dealer in Palatka, takes the cash down to the bank, renders it into traveler's checks, sends 85% of the proceeds back to Pascagoula to cover alimony arrearage, and buys Mercury outboard motors with the rest. So I'd like to dedicate this whole thing to you and all your friends, to Cousin Thelma and Barbara and Will McLean and Don Grooms and everybody else, but most especially to the commercial fishermen of Big Lake George.